The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
Now, Liz Truss and Rishi Sunak face off on live television once again this evening, just over a month before the next UK Prime Minister is chosen. The ballot of about 160,000 Conservative Party members, however, it hit a roadblock when voting was delayed after a cyber hacking alert. George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times, joins me now. George, good morning.
Morning.
It's a very interesting process to select a prime minister, is it not? 160,000 people out of tens of millions of voters get to decide who succeeds Boris Johnson.
Yes, I think something like 0.2% of the population is basically involved over the summer holidays in choosing Britain's next prime minister. It's a curious state of affairs. One of the side effects of having a parliamentary system, I suppose, rather than a presidential system.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, that's the way it works.
Yeah. Except that, George, if they just left it to the MPs who are elected and therefore are representative of their constituencies, you could see that as fair. But, you know, the MPs only get to narrow the field to two, and then you get 160,000 people, as you said, a tiny, tiny proportion of the electorate, decide who's the next prime minister. It is bizarre.
It is bizarre, and the Labour Party over here chooses their leader in exactly the same way, and you end up with party members who don't represent the voters for that party generally, because people, as you know, who join political parties tend to be slightly more... let's put it this way, sort of engaged or usually probably a bit more to the right or the left, depending which party they're in, than their actual voters. And you end up with quite skewed results. So, for example, the Labour Party membership went for Jeremy Corbyn famously. And it's quite likely that in this occasion, they're going to go for the more right-wing candidate, in the case of the Tories, with Liz Truss.
Yeah. I suppose the difference is if you have, while in opposition, a change of leadership, that's one thing, because then the electorate at the next election get to, you know, cast their vote on the merits of the new leader of the Labour Party or whoever's in opposition. But in this case, the electorate don't get a shot for another couple of years.
No, it's true. And, you know, if you listen to the manifestos that have been presented by Rishi Sunak and Liz Truss, the two contenders, they're very much at odds with the manifesto in which the Conservative Party was elected in 2019. So, as you say, there is a democratic question there being raised. The only thing I would say is that we've got used to this in this country over the last few years. David Cameron resigned halfway through his term, was replaced by Theresa May. Theresa May was forced out over Brexit, as you recall, replaced by Boris Johnson halfway through her term. And now Boris Johnson suffered the same fate. So, the last three Conservative prime ministers have been foisted on the country by the party membership rather than by the electorate as a whole.
Now, they had a novel system they were going to try, which was that you could cast your vote by post and then electronically you could change your mind, and that hit a speed bump.
It was very odd when we heard about this as an idea, that you could vote twice and only your second vote would count to allow you to change your mind. No, I never heard about that in any sort of democratic system before. And the spooks at GCHQ, the intelligence agency, advised the Conservative Party this could be open to hacking. So as a consequence, they've changed the rules so that you can only vote once now. And that's delayed the whole thing. So it means that ballot papers won't be going out for a few more days. That, if anything, will help Rishi Sunak, because at the moment it looks like he's a long way behind Liz Truss, so he needs all the time he can get.
Now, Liz Truss, a strange candidate. In her past, she had a colourful affair, shall we say. She has flip-flopped. She's had to, issue a policy and then reverse it. Erratic is a word that could be applied to her. One of the former MPs, who's now a columnist for The Times, described her as barking. It's a strange place we find ourselves in.
Yes. Well, Dominic Cummings, who you'll remember was Boris Johnson's former advisor, said that Liz Truss was as close to properly crackers as anyone he'd met in Parliament. So she's an interesting character, Liz Truss. I would say she's ideological, in the way that Boris Johnson wasn't. I mean, yes, it's true she was a Liberal Democrat in her youth, but she's always been interested in free markets and free trade and obsessed by Margaret Thatcher. So there is sort of a line all the way through that. She flip-flopped on Brexit famously, although I don't think anyone was really convinced that she was a proper Remainer. I think she was doing that for her career. But yes, I mean, she's someone who appears like she models herself on Margaret Thatcher as a conviction politician. But then when the going gets tough, as we saw this week, she quickly reverses policies. And, you know, some of the policies she's been advocating are certainly quite a long way to the right, most notably the one you alluded to there, Pat, which, where she had a plan to cut the wages of over 5 million public servants living in poorer parts of the UK to adjust them to local living costs. And she hoped to save £9 billion in that way. And as soon as someone pointed out that wasn't exactly going to level up the country, she quickly reversed it.
Mm. So you have to question the quality of her advice?
Yes. I mean, I suppose the one thing you say is a lot of the things that people are saying in this leadership contest, one assumes will never see the light of day should either of them become prime minister. I mean, there's a whole lot of stuff being floated. I mean, like, because to win this contest, you've got to appeal to 160,000 odd Tory members and their leader columns of the Daily Telegraph and the Daily Mail. So the candidates are throwing out some real red meat stuff. Rishi Sunak, who doesn't believe a word of this, incidentally, suggested the idea of putting illegal migrants onto cruise ships moored off God knows where. This whole war on woke, Liz Truss promising to get rid of diversity officers running the civil service. I mean, a whole load of things which are aimed directly at this quite narrow electorate, which you'd hope that, you know, in the cold light of day, they decide not to to implement. But I mean, as I said, these policies are very much at odds to what the party was elected on in 2019.
Finally, George, one television debate tonight on Sky. Can Rishi Sunak turn it around?
I don't think one debate will turn it around. It's a debate on Sky TV, which doesn't normally have a huge audience, it's true. But he needs every opportunity. I think his best bet really is just to keep meeting party members. It is possible to meet a whole load of the people, the electorate, and actually sort of convince them that he's got a sensible plan for the economy. One other thing I've mentioned, Pat, which is probably more important, is that the Bank of England in a couple of hours' time is expected to put up interest rates possibly by half of 1 percentage point. And this is a key part of Rishi Sunak's campaign. The warning that if you cut taxes immediately, which is what Liz Truss is doing, you're going to make inflation much, much worse and force the Bank of England to put rates up even higher, hitting everyone's mortgages.
We'll watch that space. George Parker, political editor with the Financial Times. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.